mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Already the eighth day of February 2005, and we're going to be live for the next 3 hours. We've got two big guests coming up today. One to talk about the continuity of government or the Congressional Doomsday Plan that was passed a few weeks ago, and another who is a transhumanist, a top professor and scientist, talking about how humanity is going to be merging with machines. So that is coming up in the second hour of the broadcast. Tons of vital news and information as usual. Error of big government is back under Bush. A new era of big government. A record budget. But then you read all the other headlines, it's big, deep cuts. Let me see, we had a $1.7 trillion federal budget a year under Bill Clinton, and now we're going to have a $2.5 or $2.6 trillion budget for 06. How is that cuts? And I heard neocons all over talk radio yesterday saying this is a conservative budget and really cuts the government, and the evil liberals out there don't want to cut the government. You talk about Orwellian spin. Yes, they do cut a few federal programs while ballooning all the others. And we mean classical FDR or Lyndon Baines Johnson-style government. Doubled the size of the Department of Education, and now they even expand on that in the last 4 years. Radically expanded Health and Human Services. Radically expanded abortion funding by 85%. Oh, yes. But again, the average conservative has no idea and thinks everything's fine. They think $2.6 trillion budget is smaller than $1.7 trillion. And you're not going to argue with them. You're not going to convince them otherwise. A very small portion of this is military spending. If they do have an inkling that government's getting bigger, well, Al-Qaeda hit us. This is the fight Al-Qaeda. Bush proposes steep cuts in the budget, but huge expansions of other areas of the budget. And to be technical, some reports say $2.5 trillion, others say $2.6 trillion. The actual amount as it stands now, it's normally much more once they actually pass it all, is $2.57 trillion. And I was taught to round up, so we'll say $2.6 trillion, or you can round down $2.5 trillion. What's $100 billion here or there? Also, some bad news for those that like drafting people that have already served. Judge rejects stop-loss suit versus the Army. And as usual, it's kind of a double-think ruling by the judge. U.S. District Judge Roy C. Lamberth for the District of Columbia said the enlistment contract does not notify those who sign up, but the government could extend their terms of service while acknowledging minimal harm to the Army if ordered to release the officer. Lamberth said similar claims could lead to substantial disruption and diversion of military resources. So the judge came out and said, yeah, they lied to you, but kind of gave a middle-of-the-road ruling, but it's better than nothing, I guess. Dolly scientist gets human cloning license. That's out of the Associated Press. And boy, did I get demonized by popular mechanics. We'll be right back. InfoWars.com, PrisonPlanet.tv,
are just
two of the... Alex Jones here, announcing the release of my new film, Police State 3 Total Enslavement. Police State 3 details the architecture, goals, and operations of the New World Order.
There is a chance to use this disaster for the New World Order.
A New World Order can emerge.
The film documents dozens of confirmed cases of government-sponsored terrorism worldwide. We rip the sinister Patriot Act legislation 1 and 2 apart, piece by piece, and reveal the arrogance of what Ashcroft has to say about your liberty.
You will lose your liberty.
Homeland Security, executive orders, forced vaccinations, the new prison economy, the Total Information Society, the Pan-American Union, federal gun grabs, government-run white slavery rings, and much, much more. If you want to understand what the New World Order really is, then my new 2.5-hour video, Police State 3, is for you. Visit InfoWars.com or PrisonPlanet.com to order, or call toll-free 1-888-253-3139. That's 888-253-3139. Order today and spread the word.
The Berkey Light is your premier source for purified water. It's portable and requires no water pressure, so you can enjoy healthy drinking water, whether it's during normal times or hostile environments, like a local or national emergency. That's because it can purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and stagnant ponds. The Berkey Light is unique because it removes pathogenic bacteria, cyst parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also removes foul taste and odors like the rotten egg smell of sulfide, and it extracts nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving in the healthful and nutritional minerals that your body needs. The Berkey Light's rechargeable LED lighting system is so bright it can be used as a reading light. Get the Berkey Light for only $259 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438 and tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's toll-free 888-803-4438 or order on the web at berkeywater.com. Not yet available in Iowa.
I have tried and been on so many weight loss things over the years. I've tried many, many products. I have never experienced anything like Collagenate. I have lost 17 pounds in a little less than 8 weeks. It truly works. Collagenate is wonderful.
Join the crowd of people that have been telling us how much weight they've been losing through Collagenate from Vim and Vigor. Vim and Vigor's Collagenate works with your body to improve fat metabolism, and that means a leaner, healthier you. Our listeners keep telling us Vim and Vigor's Collagenate really does work. And it's healthy for you, too. In addition to helping you lose weight, Collagenate is also designed to improve strength and health of muscles, joints, skin, hair, and nails. So take Collagenate and rejuvenate. Call Vim and Vigor today. 1-800-622-THIN. That's 1-800-622-8446. And listen, get $25 off a 3-month supply of Collagenate. So call now. 1-800-622-THIN. Again, 1-800-622-8446.
This Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
A handful of congressmen could rule America in the event of a catastrophe. No longer do Capitol Hill legislators need a quorum to do the people's business. Now, under a piece of hotly contested legislation passed without media attention on January 5th, only a few members of Congress are needed to do official business in the event of a catastrophe, instead of the usual 218 that makes a quorum. Critics claim H.Res. 5 paves the way for tyranny, allowing only a few to decide for so many. The provision states that the House should be without a quorum due to catastrophic circumstances, then, until there appear in the House a significant number of representatives to constitute a quorum among the whole number of the House, a quorum in the House shall be determined based upon the provincial and provisional number of the House, the provisional number of the House, as for the close of the call of the House, shall be the number of representatives responding to the call of the House. So, I guess just whoever shows up. Supporters claim the bill, passed under the cover of congressional darkness, is intended to allow the government to continue operating in the event of a catastrophic emergency or terrorist attack. However, constitutional experts say the law is blatantly unconstitutional and ripe for challenge. Normally, 218 lawmakers out of the 435 members are needed to declare war, pass laws, and validly conduct the people's business. But under the new rule, a majority is no longer needed when circumstances arise, including natural disaster, attack and terrorist attacks, rendering representatives incapable of attending House proceedings. It's another measure brought up by lawmakers that shows their callous disregard for democracy, said one California attorney who preferred to remain anonymous. GOP House leaders pushed the controversial doomsday legislation, as it was dubbed, through for passage as part of a hefty and voluminous rules package. It drew little attention and was probably not even discovered by many who voted on it, since the rules package centered on recent ethics violations. And we talked about this last year. We talked about the commission that was pushing this. And we have a very special surprise guest joining us in about 22 minutes to talk about this. Believe me, you do not want to miss it. We'll get the other side's view on this. We've been doing that a lot lately here on the broadcast, bringing you the insiders. But I do want to spend some time today on this. Era of big government is back under Bush. A $2.6 trillion, to be technical, $2.57 trillion budget for 06. It is fully $900 billion bigger than Bill Clinton's biggest budget. But it's being hailed as a cut in government. I'm not kidding. I'm sure you've seen the newspapers. I was at the convenience store early this morning. They got four or five papers they carry, and they all have the same basic headline. Massive cuts announced by Bush. Huge cuts announced by Bush. New budget has big cuts. The average person, why Bush is cutting government. And that's just folks reading the newspaper. If you were to tune in to the neocon lords of disinformation and big government, and open borders and gun control yesterday. I heard them yesterday and this morning. Why, look at Bush. Big cuts. And, yeah, he's cutting a few things like farm subsidies, and they've been cutting VA benefits and doing things like that, though they're now increasing the death benefit for troops, while rolling into that bill a legislation that gives the vaccine makers total liability protection across the board. But that's a side issue. If you were to hear these shows or read the newspaper, you'd think there were big cuts. No. I have to commend the LA Times. Their headline, Era of Big Government is Back Under Bush. And then here's another headline, an AP headline that's indicative of the disinformation. Bush proposes steep cuts as part of his $2.57 trillion budget. Now that's double think. He proposes big cuts, and they give the amount of the total budget. It's just amazing. So now you can argue with people that think they're conservative, who were really socialist and didn't know it. You can argue with them all day long. They'll tell you the government's smaller, and I say just move on to people that have brains in their heads. And again, they'll also say, well, this is for the military. Actually, military spending is only up about $150 billion a year, and over the next 4 years, that is a large part of the total budget increases. But it's not even half of it. What is it, about 40%? The rest. Oh, by the way these budgets always work is that they're always at least 20% bigger by the time they actually pass all the spending authorization. Because pork always gets attached and pork barreled on us. And so I think we're going to be looking, many experts agree, at a $3 trillion year in 2006 fiscal year. So $3 trillion budget. Because Bill Clinton would pass a 1.7, and then they'd end up spending 1.9. And Bush has been getting $2.2 trillion budgets passed, radically expanding government. It was, what, 2.6, so this is 2.6. Who knows how big? It could push past $3 trillion. And I got an interesting email the other day. Somebody asked, well, Alex, if the military budget is only general military budget, then you have all these supplemental $80 billion packages they've been passing twice a year. If the military budget is $450 billion, then how can there be missing from the Pentagon in the last 2 years $1.2 trillion? And in the 8 years before that, 9 years, excuse me, $1.2 trillion. Now a grand total in the last 11 years of $2.4 trillion. So in the last 2 years, it's accelerated geometrically or exponentially. It's doubled. Doubled the looting and stealing of Bill Clinton in the first 2 years of Lord Bush. So if the budget's only $450 billion, and then with all the supplements before that, let's a little over $500 billion, and then again with the Iraq War the last 2 years over that, where's the money coming from? Well, it's simple. They've slashed veterans' benefits. That the government had built up its own accounts, had bought its own stock. The Pentagon had its own CAFR, Comprehensive Annual Financial Report. Every time I say that, I get an email from somebody in South Africa going, that's a racist slang. No, it's the name of the Comprehensive Annual Financial Reports, okay, that counties and cities and school districts and water districts have and the feds have and different federal departments have and state governments have. I mean, New York back in 96 had a $1.4 trillion surplus, okay? I mean, in cream assets after expenditures. Give you an idea. So the Pentagon had built up all these huge slush funds, and what they've been doing in the last 11 years is dumping. In fact, it was first the Pentagon in 1952 that started setting up Comprehensive Annual Financial Reports, or the CAFR reports. And so they've started sucking those dry. And that's, and look, you don't believe me, just type $2.4 trillion missing from Pentagon, and you'll get CBS News. And I talk a lot about this because I just can't get over it. I mean, I've been talking for years, for 2 years since I saw the $1.2 trillion in the Associated Press, which they admitted in the press conference was missing, and we don't know where it is. And then now, a couple years later, Rumsfeld gives a press conference, and it makes it to CBS News and one other news wire, but that's it. And then the average person has no idea. $2.4 trillion? Trillion! That's almost as big as the entire federal budget for 2006. That's as big as this year's budget was. Gone. And half of it in the last 2 years. I mean, you wonder why the government's so corrupt. Why they're militarizing the police while they're building all these prisons. Because they're a bunch of crooks, and they know we're getting wise to them. You know, a crook, when he's robbing you, puts you in handcuffs or ties you down. They don't want us getting in the way, folks, because they're not going to stop here. They want your pension funds. They're already grabbing a lot of those. They want to loot more companies. They're coming out with all these new forms of taxation. The state of Texas is about to come out with a business tax, which is really a sales tax. Some new taxing district was announced a few years ago in Austin. Just some new district where they show up for a property tax. It's a new property tax because they can't get a, quote, state income tax is basically what it is. It's just bureaucrats just show up at your office and start demanding money. I mean, it's just crazy. Just where I live. Now they're going to have toll roads on almost every major street, $1,800 a year for the first year starting. And this is happening all over the country. It's just a nightmare of corruption. And state-funded universities are now saying there's no cap on tuition. You know, $25,000 a year isn't enough. And then you look at the University of Texas, and it's got hundreds of billions of dollars of assets and a $25 billion pure cream slush fund. And that was years ago when I checked it. I'm told it's grown. Not just where I live. Just mass looting, mass greed, total corruption. And everybody I know has lost their job, and the news is telling us how great the economy is. And I talk to people all over the country. You know, commercial real estate's plunging. People are losing their businesses. Meanwhile, we've got a $2.6 trillion budget. We'll be right back.
So what's in your shampoo, bath soap, and dish soap? Chlorides, dyes, ethanol, sulfates, sodiums, formaldehydes, etc.? Read the labels. Inhaling exposure can lead to coughing, wheezing, shortness of breath, headache, and nausea. Also may be irritating to the skin and mucous membranes and cause you to seek medical help. Perfumes, also known as fragrance on a label, can indicate the presence of thousands of separate ingredients. Now, just by one example, here's what's in my Calben Pure Soap Shampoo. It's all natural, earth-friendly, it contains extra virgin cocoa butter oils and vegetable protein oils. No harsh chemicals, no animal tallow or testing. So what are you waiting for? Call now, 1-800-340-7091, and find out how a family of four can save over $1,000 per year on all their cleaning products with Calben Pure Soaps. Call Calben toll-free at 1-800-340-7091. That's 800-340-7091, or visit calbenpuresoap.com.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw for free enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states it's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Now you can upgrade your existing gravity filter to remove chemicals such as trimethylenes, atrazine, benzene, chlorine, chloroform, and MTBE to below detectable limits. Black Berkey elements are so powerful, they remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and transform water, even raw, stagnant pond water, into delicious crystal clear drinking water. Nitrates, nitrites, radon-222, unwanted heavy metals like lead, mercury, and aluminum are no problem. Foul tastes like chlorine and obnoxious sulfur odors are removed without removing the healthful and beneficial minerals that your body needs. Black Berkey elements flow 1.5 to 2 times faster than ordinary gravity elements, which means it takes much less time to filter your water. Supercharge your gravity filter today. Upgrade to Black Berkey purification elements. Get a 2-pack for only $96 or a 4-pack for only $175. Call New Millennium at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438, or order on the web at berkeywater.com.
David J. Smith for Newswatch Magazine. Have you ever heard of the Genocide Convention Treaty to the United Nations? Did you know that it's a direct assault upon your freedom of religion? Did you know that if you mention perverted sex acts as being wrong according to the Bible, you could be arrested and tried for causing mental harm to others? It's already law in Canada, Australia, Britain, and Sweden, where Christians are being tried and deprived of freedom of speech. We'd like to help you understand why these things are happening by offering you an absolutely free one-year subscription to Newswatch Magazine. Just call our toll-free order line number, 1-800-516-8736. That's 1-800-516-8736. Call now. Our operators are standing by to receive your call.
I'm just trying to report the facts. The facts are the facts. We have this gigantic government passing laws to forcibly psychologically test all our children with guidelines written by the drug companies. Their own documents brag that they'll put half our children forcibly on their new expensive psychotropic drugs. We've got this police state unfolding. We've got RFID tracker chips going and everything. And we've got conservatives, people that think they're conservative, running around giggling and laughing, going, praise the Lord, George Bush is in office. He's slashing the government. No, he's not. 2.6 trills bigger than 1.7 trill. 2.4 trillion missing from the Pentagon is not conservative. It's so larcenous, so big, and you're like, well, Bill Clinton was part of it too. That's right, and George Bush protected Bill Clinton and blocked Dan Burton's committee that was trying to go after him. I'd love to see Bill Clinton in prison. I actually want to see these criminals brought to justice. I actually don't like Bill Clinton. I'm angry that he's been protected. I don't sit there sucking my thumb listening to neocons, you know, while they tell us how great Arnold Schwarzenegger is. You know, while we got the national talk show host calling for Arnold for president, we got John Bon Jovi calling for Arnold for president. It's who's somebody who, you know, campaigned for Clinton and Gore and Kerry, everybody else. Folks, it's just sick. I mean, it really is sick. And later in the broadcast, we got two guests coming up. I do want to just talk some about this Popular Mechanics attacks, its 911 lies. It built a straw man, in the words of Jim Hoffman, who did a great job. They built a straw man. And once they got it set up, they asked all these fake, false questions. Then they tore it apart. And they attacked me. I mean, literally, these were like 20-year-old kids. And I know 20-year-olds that are smarter than I am, but these different writers I was talking to, and I talked to the editor then, and I said, look, every time they want to talk about bombs in the buildings, and when I say, okay, here's an AP article where they told the reporters, get back, we're going to pull the building, and here's Larry Silverstein saying we pulled the building and gave the order to bring it down and watched it come down, and here's Giuliani saying they were told to get out of the building. Oh, no, we're not going to talk about that. We want to know how you knew there were bombs in there. And then they go, well, we found an article here on your website where you say you interviewed two of the seismologists, and we called them, and you didn't interview them. And I went, what do you mean? I went and pulled the article. I go, this is an American Free Press article we posted. It says American Free Press. It says the name of the writer, and it says he interviewed them. Now, did you call them and ask if he interviewed them? And they're like, no. Well, are you? And I called their editor up, and I said, you listen here, and you listen good. Don't you build, I even use this term, this Hoffman's pretty smart. I called their editor up and I said, you don't build straw man arguments. That is a fake argument you can defeat. You better watch yourself. You got a highly respected publication, and if you try to falsify things I've said that I didn't say and try to smear me, you're going to have a problem. And I've got to decide what to do about this right now. I mean, it's bad, folks. And I told their editor, man, I had like a 20-minute discussion with him, and he was like, oh, yes, sir, we're going to double-check everything. Oh, yes, I do see the point you've made about, I mean, imagine, it'd be like if I carried an Associated Press article, like I do every day on my website, and then to disprove what the AP reporter had said, they called the person the AP reporter interviewed and said, did Alex Jones interview you? Well, no, Alex Jones didn't interview me. Well, thank you. Oh, Alex says he interviewed these people, but he didn't. There's probably 50 new articles posted every day on each of my websites, and 49 times out of 50, I didn't write it. And it'll say where it came from, who wrote it. You just got to love these people. I mean, you've really got to love them. I hope folks will expose this, and I hope you'll get the real 9/11 films, 9/11 The Road to Tyranny, The Masters of Terror. I carry George Humphrey's great film, 9/11 The Great Illusion, Endgame of the Illuminati, Eric Huffman's great video on 9/11. Go to Infowars.com or PrisonPlanet.com. Order these videos. Get them out to people. Make copies of my films. Call toll-free to get them right now, 1-888-253-3139. Work hard. Expose these people. Expose their lies. 1-888-253-3139. We'll be back with a big guest, folks. But again, Infowars.com or PrisonPlanet.com or 888-253-3139. It's up to you to expose this, and at the grassroots level, you can do it. But if you don't take action, they're going to win. But they must be hurting bad if they're responding like this. We'll be back with our special guest.
We're on the march. The Empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Why continue to suffer from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people report improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Eliminate the cause. Don't just treat symptoms. BioSolutions has over 450 pre-programmed auto-sequences for various health conditions and is very easy to use. It comes with a 30-day return policy and a one-year limited warranty. For more information, call Alternative Technologies toll-free, 866-885-6625. 866-885-6625. One more time, that's 866-885-6625. Call today.
Get the new Berkey battery adapter, an inexpensive yet long-term backup power supply for your Berkey Light LED system. The Berkey's LED lamps are unique because, incredibly, they have an average life of over 11 years of continuous use and are so bright they can be spotted for more than a mile in the dark, yet require very little energy. That's why this revolutionary new technology is a bit expensive. But it's worth every penny because the low-energy LEDs are able to provide light all night long for over 2 weeks on a single set of four AA alkaline batteries. That's right. Incredibly, your emergency light will operate every night for over 2 weeks for the price of four small AA batteries. Be prepared for unexpected emergencies and get the Berkey battery adapter, complete with on-off switch, for only $10 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. That's toll-free, 888-803-4438.
Whether it's fair or not, people judge you by the words you use. In business and socially, your vocabulary and language skills tell everyone about your background, education, even your intelligence. That's why you need Verbal Advantage. While you listen, Verbal Advantage will give you the confidence that comes with a strong command of the English language. No more fumbling for the right word. No more embarrassment at how to express yourself. No more fear of using the wrong word. And it's so easy. To learn, you simply listen. When you want. Where you want. See why over 100,000 people have already gotten the Verbal Advantage they need for success.
To learn more about Verbal Advantage, call now. 1-800-419-WORD. That's 419-WORD. 1-800-419-WORD.
Jones, your host. The website's InfoWars.com, PrisonPlanet.tv, Biting the Police State, Exposing the Phony Left and Right, and our new big, gigantic $2.6 trillion federal budget, and the good old $2.4 trillion missing from the Pentagon. That's what we've been talking about today. But I tell you, I am really honored to have our guest on with us. He's Dr. John C. Fortier, and he is the Executive Director of the Continuity of Government Commission, who we've been talking about now for about 6 months. And the commission is an American Enterprise Institute and Brookings Institution project headquartered at AEI. It is funded by the Carnegie and the Hewlett, Packard, and MacArthur Foundations. Presidents Jimmy Carter and Gerald Ford and the honorary co-chairs of the commission, and Lloyd Cutler and Alan Simpson are the chairman. And our guest has a bio that's encyclopedic, and I'm not even going to attempt to try to cover it all, but Fortier researches politics, the presidency, continuity of government, elections, the Electoral College, election reform, and presidential succession and disability. He is Executive Director of the Continuity of Government Commission. Hey, we could probably bring up to him the fact that the Pope's real sick and they're saying may resign. That's another issue, but it's kind of continuity of government. That's coming up later, too, folks. But right now, he joins us. Now, what they propose, the amendment to the Constitution, is not to be confused with what was called the Doomsday Plan, something right out of Dr. Strangelove that they passed back on January 5th. And just reading one more little paragraph here. Handful of congressmen could rule America in event of catastrophe. No longer do Capitol Hill legislators need a quorum to do the people's business. Now under a piece of hotly contested legislation passed without media attention on January 5th in a congressional blackout, only a few members of Congress are needed to do official business in the event of a catastrophe instead of the usual 218. Now it's basically any number. And this is very scary. And I was talking to Mr. Fortier, who is executive director of the Continuity of Government Commission, and during the break, and he agreed with me. He said, this is not good. Thank you for joining us, sir.
Great. Thank you for having me. I'm glad we don't have to talk about the Pope's suggestion. That's another layer of difficulty that I don't think I could rise to.
I was just, well, I mean, it made me think you're an expert on succession, and so I figured you might have a comment on it, but boy, that's going to be a circus.
Sure.
But tell us just a little bit about yourself, and then let's launch into why your commission was formed and what you think of this legislation that passed a month ago.
Well, I'm a political scientist here at the American Enterprise Institute, and I do a lot of work on institutions, the presidency, and Congress. And really, the commission came about because of 9/11, because we did some thinking. My colleague, Norm Ornstein, started it, and others followed on, of what would have happened had that fourth plane come and hit the Capitol. We know now from the 9/11 Commission that it was, and that was the target of the plane. That they'd also considered the White House.
Yeah, that or the White House.
Additional tragedy, certainly, but not only tragedy, loss of human life, symbolic tragedy, but possibly trying to take out our leaders, decapitate our government, make us vulnerable at a time where we needed real leadership. And if you certainly, we would hope the president would stand in an emergency, but we have all sorts of questions about presidential succession. If Congress were knocked out
but
for a period of time.
But couldn't he ride in on a white horse and save us if
well,
the Reichstag was burned?
Look, none of us would want that situation where the president was simply in charge and there was no Congress to check him. And you might have a case of a president, you know, somewhere down the line of succession, the Secretary of Agriculture acting as president, and no one knows with no check. So ideally, we'd like to, our commission is aimed at getting constitutional government back in place as quickly as possible after a catastrophic attack on Congress. That was our first report, and we were actually working on a...
Well, I have to be honest with you, Mr. Fortier, I have to be honest with you. I thought your plan was scary,
yep.
But compared, I guess this is the dialectic, compared to what they passed a month and 3 days ago, it's a real gem constitutionally.
Right. Well, I mean, I think you may not like our plan, but we were up front. Constitutionally, we think that you actually need to amend the Constitution, not sort of get around it and interpret things loosely, but we think that you need some sort of temporary people quickly appointed in the House of Representatives, like we appoint senators, to be in place. All 435 districts would have a representative quickly until we can get the elections going, which are going to take time, especially after an election. That's
kind of like the 17th Amendment.
It is like that for the House. It wouldn't be in normal circumstances.
But why not be like Paul Begala, stroke of the pen, law of the land, kind of cool?
Yeah.
I mean, our new Attorney General says Bush is above the law. He is the law. He is the sovereign.
Well, the alternative to that in Congress really is to either do nothing or to do something very small around the edges. Some people have proposed trying to get the elections speeded up in the states, but there's a real problem, especially with the case where lots of people are incapacitated. And
well, in a nutshell, tell us what your plan was.
Our plan is, if lots of members of the Congress are killed or incapacitated, we would allow some sort of appointments, probably by a governor, but there's some other methods that would get somebody in there quickly from each district in Congress, and so we could have a full membership, and we could meet a quorum requirement. A quorum is a majority, and then we could have the Congress and the president dealing with our problems of national security.
So the regional governors would appoint members to the Imperial Council, and then at a later date, we would have elections at the state level.
Right. The elections are going to go forward, but realistically, they're going to take 3 or 4 months to undertake. And in that time period, we did a lot of things after September 11th, and we might, you know, find ourselves wanting to have, again, representation from all throughout the country in the body that, you know, represents the people the most right after an attack. That's our goal, is to get those people in place quickly. It could be done by other methods. The governor doesn't have to do it. There's some suggestions that the members themselves could provide a list of successors. Some people think that's a good idea or not. There, as long as it's a legitimate way of getting people in who are reasonable.
Now, how are you going to get this amendment? I mean, were you going to just try to go for the full amendment, or maybe have a con so we could slip Arnie in while we're at it?
Well, no, we were hopefully going through the regular amendment process through Congress, and we've got some support in the Senate. Actually, in your state, John Cornyn is a big supporter of this sort of approach, Senator Cornyn, and we have supporters in the House as well, although the issue has been somewhat politicized in the House. There are people who worry that we shouldn't have someone appointed to the House ever.
Well, now that's interesting. In this other rules package, they pass this on January 5th, a separate plan that's even more draconian. I mean, it makes your plan look wonderful, and this sucker's passed. Can we talk about that plan, why you have problems with it?
Absolutely. I mean, we believe that we want a Congress after an attack, but we don't think any old Congress will do, that 5 members or 20 members is a good idea with most of the country, you know, left out and unrepresented. You can pick your least favorite.
And I've got members. The bill here. It just says whoever right. can show up.
Right. The Constitution says that the House and the Senate must have a majority of its members in order to conduct business. That was to prevent, you know, a small group from running off and saying, we're the Congress, we're doing this, that, and the other thing.
I'm in control now from here, as Alexander Haig said.
Exactly, and you can imagine after an attack with the chaos that would ensue, that one would want to be very careful about those.
Well, you know, I think that's a conspiracy theory, doctor, sir. I mean, powerful men don't want more power in history. Let's just trust them.
Well, I think you're saying that with a little bit of your tongue in your cheek. At some point, you know, in certain circumstances, we're going to have to trust some of our leaders, but we would like to have whatever institutional provisions in place beforehand so that we wouldn't necessarily have to go to that. We could have something like a normal checks and balances constitutional system. And we don't think a House of Representatives with 5 or 10 or 20 or 50 people operating really against the letter and certainly against the spirit of this quorum requirement we have in the Constitution is a good idea after an election. And that,
well, sounds like a dictatorship to me. I mean, you're talking about 5 people could go in there and do whatever they want, and even for natural disasters. I mean, this thing is so expansive. I mean, they declare an emergency every year to get around the Constitution and get around budgetary controls, as you know well, I'm sure, sir.
Right. One of the most worrisome things about this is that the House has to work with others to do many things. But one thing it can do by itself, and that's if we really are talking about some sort of attack on us that happened in the State of the Union or something, where everyone is together and the President and Vice President are killed and many members of Congress, the Speaker of the House is next in the line of succession. And, in fact, the law is written so that a new Speaker of the House, could come bump out the cabinet member who takes over as president. So those 5 people left in Congress, your least 5 favorite people out there, come together. They have a quorum of 3. They vote someone to be their new speaker, and that person becomes president of the United States for the next 4 years. So it's a troubling thing that the Congress would try to operate with just a few people, but it's especially troubling if you're really talking about the disaster that affects presidential succession as well.
Well, we know that political intrigue and assassination has been part of human history, but today we're told it doesn't exist in America. But I think Congress is doing something that's dangerous to themselves in this climate, passing this. I mean, it's just asking. I know you wouldn't think anyone in the government would go after other members of Congress, but I think it's setting up a recipe for even bigger problems.
Yeah, we are concerned about this. We really do.
Oh, you are concerned about this.
We oh, absolutely. We're against this proposal that has been put forward. We think that
it passed.
Yes, it has passed the House rules. It is now part of the House rules for the 109th Congress.
So how does that operate and link up with the Senate?
Say again.
So the House is saying we don't even care what the Senate does. We've just passed our own rules.
Right. The House and Senate do have, you know, their own rules for their own internal deliberations, but this actually affects something larger. It affects other institutions. It's a constitutional provision that says that the House has a majority quorum.
Now, I'm looking at the bill. It just says here. Let me find it. It says whoever can get there. I'll find the actual sentence.
Right. What they're worried about is they've in the past have sort of tried to whittle away, saying, well, it's whoever's alive, half of the whoever's alive, which we think is not really consistent with the Constitution. Now they've gone a step further, saying who's ever alive and who's ever able to show up, we'll just say that that group, That's the whole Congress. A majority of them constitute a quorum, and we can go ahead no matter how small a group it is.
This sounds like the final years of the Roman Empire.
Well, I don't want to attribute too many bad motives to the people who have proposed this, but I do think what it is somewhat in reaction to what we've said. They've tried very hard to bend over backwards to find some way to keep Congress going. But, you know, our point is we want to have Congress quickly in place. We want to have the House quickly in place, but we want to have a full membership of the House. We want to have each district.
Well, explain to me, though. I mean, the Federal Reserve Act of 1913 was passed, the night before Christmas, when all through the House, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. And you know, we had, what, three senators pass it into the rules for the Federal Reserve Act. So they've already been doing stuff like this before with the lawmaking. So what does this change?
Well, I mean, I don't know all the details of the case you just put forward about three senators, but certainly there have been, over the years, occasions where they've been one or two short on a quorum, and they've kind of played fast and loose, I think, with some of the precedents and the rules to say, well, let's just push this through. We have, you know, a majority of members living or other things. This is just a step further. This is and this is done, you know, with eyes open, with a good intent of trying to keep Congress going no matter what.
With eyes wide shut.
Yeah. Well, I think it's a mistaken proposal, or mistaken part of the rules, as you say. It's now part of the rules, I may not persuade you that our proposal is the way to go, but we, you know, it is a real question of what would happen to Congress and the President if we're talking about many of our leaders being killed and incapacitated. And our belief is you have the Senate pretty much can take care of itself, some exceptions. The House is going to face some real problems because it has only one way of filling those vacancies, by having elections, and that ultimately we need to get people in place quickly, have those elections, and get back to normal.
Well, what about repealing this? I mean, last year they passed a law giving liability protection to vaccine makers. When people learned of that, it got reversed. I mean, how do we stop this pell-mell, wild, over-the-edge dash by the executive, the legislative, even by the judicial, now just everybody saying we are the final arbiter of the law, we are the law, it flows from us, not from the Constitution, Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights. I mean, we've got all these White House officials saying Bush is above the law, we've got Congress saying we are the law, we can have two people, three people here and make it a quorum and do whatever we want and appoint whoever we want president. I mean, it's really across the board. Just completely alien to the basic canons and foundations and pillars of our society.
Well, the way to repeal this is it's a rule of the House, and the House just simply needs a majority of their members to change the rules.
So they can just pass a rule in the House saying they're God tomorrow?
Well, they can, and ultimately it may be challenged in court, but I think they feel confident that this thing, we hope it never comes to the position where this would be challenged in court. That would mean that there's been some horrible attack on Congress, and it's something of a theoretical matter. That,
well, I know you've talked to a lot of people in Congress. How many of them were aware of this because it was tucked in to a rules package centering on recent ethics violations?
Well, there were some voices raised against it in the debate. Now, but most of the attention was on the ethics matters, as you mentioned, and on just general things that come up with the new Congress, the way that new committees are set up, and the ratio of things that people care about on a day to day basis or next week basis. This is unfortunately thought of, I think, by some as so remote that they don't want to think about it. Or I mentioned also that the House of Representatives has really become divided on this in a partisan way, oddly enough. It's not a partisan issue, but people believing that because we could never have, they don't want anyone in the House of Representatives who's never been elected, but trying to find some other way, other than what we propose, to have appointments to allow Congress to continue. This is the way this has come about. So,
Doctor, finally in the final equation, the House really has more power than the Senate, the House of Representatives, because through the Speaker you have the line to the presidency, and so it doesn't matter what rules the Senate makes, the House has basically seized the claim to the presidential crown by doing this.
Well, the Speaker of the House is above the President pro tem of the Senate, so it's a President, Vice President, Speaker, and if we have a case where the President and Vice President are killed and many members of Congress, then and some cabinet member becomes president.
So what is the Senate saying about this?
Well, the Senate is, you know, the Senate has its own rules. The Senate is protected in much of these disaster scenarios by the 17th Amendment because governors may make appointments to fill vacancies after they happen. So you see a senator leaving or dying, and quickly there's a replacement. So the Senate gets to nearly 100 people within a week, and the House is sitting around without anyone. They are either trying to operate.
But it sounds to me, though, like the House can seize total dictatorial control and rewrite the whole form of government under this plan before the Senate is even able to reconvene.
Well, if the House continues in this case, a few members are there. They elect a speaker quickly. That person is entitled to become president of the United States under the current law if there's no president and vice president because they've been killed. Yes.
And then under the claims of these executive orders and now Gonzales memos, then they're in control.
And you could imagine with really not much of a Congress to check the president or to even speak up that there's a sort of greater problem than even our typical operating system.
Well, we're talking to the executive director of the Continuity of Government Commission, this subset of the American Enterprise Institute, Dr. John C. Fortier. Doctor, can you stay with us about five more minutes?
Absolutely.
All right, we'll be right back after this quick break. We'll try to talk about some solutions to this constitutional crisis.
Alex, hey folks, Alex Jones here. And the behavior of our police is a reflection of our government. One look in the mirror and we know our country is entering a high-tech police state. Here's just a sample from my documentary film, Police State 2, The Takeover.
In downtown Seattle today, the First Amendment ended.
The civil emergency was created by the police.
Riot police attacked people on the street indiscriminately.
The medical bills are going to be enormous for me.
You see them here with their hands cupped behind their backs. They are being led into the Sandpoint Brig. The neighbors in that area of Sandpoint Naval Air Station were shocked to hear that the old brig was being reopened.
This information is absolutely vital for all freedom lovers in the United States. Order your video today. Call toll-free at 888-253-3139. The number to order the takeover again is 888-253-3139. Or go to my website, Infowars.com.
You've asked for them, and now they're here. Hello, folks. Alex Jones introducing you to the new Berkey PF2 fluoride and arsenic reduction elements for exclusive use with the Berkey Lights Black Berkey Purification Elements. The Berkey's PF2 simply screw onto the stem of the Black Berkey Purification Element. When used, water flow through the purification elements where pathogenic bacteria, harmful chemicals, radon-222, heavy metals, nitrates, foul taste and odors are separated from the water. The water then flows through the PF2 elements where fluoride, arsenic, and other residual heavy metal ions are separated. Your purified water is now ready. If you have fluoride or arsenic in your water, you need the Berkey PF2 post-filter elements. Get a set of two for only $49 or get two sets for only $89 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438 and tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's toll-free. 888-803-4438.
Herbal Healer Academy is a global supplier of the finest natural medicine that you may need in these troubled times. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECAC, colloidal silver 500 parts per million, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for contrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning, to name a few. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. For a limited time, you can sign up on the website and receive our 104-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com. Check out our online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. We have been working hard since 1988 to save the remnant. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education.
Dr. Fortier, continuing, the difference between the plan that the American Enterprise Institute had that would take a constitutional amendment and the difference between the plan that they just passed is night and day. Will you kind of condense that during the break for me? Will you do that again?
Sure. I mean, the plan we propose, we know is a high hurdle. We're proposing a constitutional amendment, but we're being honest about it. We're saying we think we need this change. We need people to be appointed to the House of Representatives after a major disaster. They could be appointed by the governors or some other way of the states. That would be a change in the Constitution, and we're proposing it.
And that would retain power at the states, though.
Yes, it would either allow the governors or the members themselves
this,
to have some
this
say.
This new law is a radical centralization in Washington.
Well, this new rules change is done, we think, you know, around the Constitution, trying to say, well, it's not really a majority of people. We need a quorum. We don't need at least 218 people here in the House. We could find some circumstances where maybe it would be okay to say 5 people or 10 people are the House of Representatives, and that has some real bad implications after an attack when we're looking for normal constitutional leadership.
So how do we turn this around?
Well, it means going to the House of Representatives, going to your representative. It doesn't involve the Senate or the President at all. This is simply a internal rule in the House. So getting your members to speak to their leaders and get rid of that law that's been the rule that's been passed. It takes just a majority.
Okay, I want to take a call. Todd in Florida, you're on the air with the good doctor. Go ahead.
Yes, Dr. Fortier, I'm wondering, what industry do you consider yourself to be in?
I'm a political scientist, so I work for a think tank.
I think what he wants to know is, are you CFR, or Trilateral Commission?
No, I don't belong to either of those organizations. As I say, I work for the American Enterprise Institute, and this is a joint project with the Brookings Institution and has a bipartisan group of people on the commission.
No, I think you're in sales, and you're very good at what you do, but would you ever want to admit that you're in sales?
I could probably make a lot more money on sales, but I am not in sales.
Look, I mean, just to Todd here, to be fair. Todd, you know, I had problems with the previous plan, but compared to what they just passed, did you hear what they just passed, Todd?
But it's Hegelian. It's, it's good cop, bad cop.
I understand. They've got one plan that isn't very good, and they've got one that's totally horrible. But I'm saying it's not a dialectic now of, the two false choices, because they just passed the bad choice.
No, but the AEI is in sales. I mean, they're not selling anything good. They're selling dehumanization, and they're ultimately selling the Alaska to Argentina thing. But Mr. Fortier also
said... Yeah, that's another subject, the whole Pan-American Union of American States. Yeah, you think that's a good idea, Doctor?
I actually don't venture into foreign policy and Latin American policy that much. We are a big place with some diversity of opinion here, so I can't.
Yeah, see, they've got particular experts over different areas, Todd.
No, it's many tentacles, Mr. Fortier. You also serve as the project manager for the Transition Governing Project.
I do, although that is a completed project now. But yes, I did.
The project has published 2 books, and one of them, when I read it. When I read the title, it was kind of scary. It was called The Permanent Campaign and Its Future. Could you tell a little bit about really the crux of that book, I guess?
Basically, it's a series of essays by political scientists worried that we spend all of our time campaigning now. We haven't left a lot of room for governing, that the campaign cycles are longer, that people are often looking to...
All it is lobbying and campaigning.
It affects lots of different areas. It affects Congress, the presidency, the media, and so it's a series of essays looking at
that.
We only
got about 30 seconds left. What's your problem with this book, Todd?
Well, the title of that one, because permanent campaign seems to imply kind of a let's never really have much of a change.
Well, I think he's addressing it. I mean, have you read the book?
No, I'm looking at the title. I have another question about the other book, Preparing to be President, the Memos of Richard E. Neustadt. Who is that and what's he about?
Okay, listen, we're out of time. I appreciate the call, Todd. We'll have to have Dr. Fortier back on. Doc, thanks a lot for coming on. It was very enlightening.
Great. I appreciate it. Thank you.
And the website is continuityofgovernment.org, continuityofgovernment.org. Thanks for coming on.
Great. Thank you.
We'll be back with another guest. You don't want to miss it.
Our terrible